What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody, to Sports Daily.
Hey, welcome in to yourself.
Yes, the Chiefs are front of mind right now because it's the All-Star break and because they reported yesterday.
We hear
from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So we're gonna take you through all of that today on the show. We'll talk about the All-Star game as well. But yeah, look, the Chiefs are there trying to get to 3, and I thought they said some really interesting things yesterday that we'll certainly dig into today. Also coming up today, we're going to have Kevin Saul. We expect to have our bi-weekly interview just ahead of the TBT, which should be a lot of fun there. Charles Cocorina getting ready to rock and roll. We'll have Connor Frankamp on from the Aftershocks tomorrow on the program. We'll also get the latest on the Dam Jam out in Goddard a little bit later in the show, as they're getting ready for a big concert event as well. We'll give away some NBC World Series tickets today, and we'll give away some HTO. Welcome in, everybody. Jad Chambers, man in the IHOP hotline for us at 869-1240. Paul getting fueled up with some Prairie Fire coffee.
Yeah, right here, baby.
Which we always appreciate.
I've got it right here, man.
So you got us on Chiefs ball. We'll start there a little bit. We'll go into the All-Star game last night. So they report. I do think it should be, hopefully, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you just sort of hope for a very boring training camp, right? One right. That we're not hearing a lot of anything. We're still waiting on Rashi Rice suspension news. We learned yesterday that Xavier Worthy should be back. Andy Reid had encouraging things to say about his injury. Probably the most concerning injury note was that Joe Tooney may start on the PUP. So there are a few things to sort through injury-wise. It'll mostly be news-making, though, the Rashi Rice thing. But I thought the tone yesterday, and it was Patrick Mahomes especially, on, yeah, they're going for a three-peat, but he, and these are words coming out of his mouth, not mine. Last year wasn't fun. right? It's always fun to win. He said, of course, the, you know, the end result was there, but getting there was not as fun as it typically is for the Chiefs. Didn't enjoy themselves quite as much. You remember that regular season, you can understand why. So I think, you know, they're always, especially when you've won back-to-back Super Bowls, you have to search a little bit for your motivations at times, and they didn't have it. You know, they didn't. It's harder to find when you're just on top, and it's like, okay, well, we'll get to another one. History is the ultimate motivator this year. You're trying to do something no NFL team has ever done, and you could stake your claim as the greatest dynasty. I know the Patriots lasted longer, right? And you're not. I'm not saying we're like trying to unseat the GOAT or anything like that, but something they didn't do was get three Super Bowls in a row. The great dynasty before that, the Cowboys of the 90s, didn't get three Super Bowls in a row. Those great Steelers dynasties didn't get three Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah,
the 49ers didn't do it. Nobody did.
Paul. Well, or the original Green Bay Packers, my friend, where the dynasty started with the very first Super Bowl championship.
You have all of that. Nobody's ever been able to get it done. We know why it's so difficult. It's the NFL. Injuries happen. There's too much turnover. Like, all of these things are why partly the NFL is so successful. And here the Chiefs take their shot. So motivation will be very interesting this year. I think they have plenty of it. And I think Patrick Mahomes, Paul, set the tone yesterday with, hey, look, we didn't have a good time last year. That wasn't fun for us. They eventually got it figured out. They eventually scratched and clawed their way through it. But here we are in this season coming in, and I would tell you that the offense looks much better to me than it did a year ago. Now, the defense, the performance of it, and we keep going back to this. We talked to Mitch Holthus last week. He told us, Paul, that he thought the defense could be better. And that's, I was very surprised by that because of how good the defense was a year ago. But if it is, and if the offense is, you know, better like I think it will be, then, you know, it will probably be a much more fun regular season than it was a year ago. When you're looking at this, three Super Bowls in a row, Paul, isn't it kind of just like get to the playoffs healthy? They showed you last year. They don't need home field to go win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They don't need any of that. I mean, it'd be nice, mm-hmm. right? It helps your chances.
Right.
But they don't have to have any of that. Mm-hmm. It's almost just like that you could play every moment of this season to set yourself up for the postseason. Now, they'd never tell you that. They'd tell you one. What do you coaches always say, Paul? One game at a time. Never look ahead. You
Correct.
Know, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Yeah. But the reality is they probably can and should. They can install things maybe in week three that help them, that they can utilize in a postseason game. They can, you know, do things that help them be healthy later in the year. It's going to be interesting with the Chiefs this year because I don't think that they will have the same sorts of regular season struggles that they had a year ago. I am of the belief that this offense will be significantly better than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced, even though I don't think there's a better expert on the Chiefs than Mitch Holthus, I'm not convinced the defense will be better than it was a year ago. But if it's even as good, which I also would be hesitant to say, I mean, that's going to be bad news for the rest of the league, Paul.
It is. And if that is really true, that will be the case. And, of course, the one thing that it looks like to me is that there's a hunger. There's not a satisfaction. A lot of times you can get to this point and you just think you're owed it. You know, you're owed this championship. You know, this is yours. You got a lot of guys coming back. You got the best player in football. I think you've upgraded in certain areas of this football team, and it would be very easy to become, you know, melancholy about the whole thing. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work on the NFL level. It doesn't work on the Wichita City League level. That's not how this works. And that's the beautiful part of this. And you're right. For a lot of teams, what's their immediate goal right now is to get to the playoffs, let alone start thinking about a Super Bowl. But look where the Chiefs are. Look where they've held, you know, getting to the playoffs.
That ain't their goal.
No, that's not their goal. Getting to the playoffs doesn't quite cut it, does it? It doesn't. And I like the way you phrase that.
Like,
I like the way you phrase that.
Super Bowl or bust, right? We use that term all the time.
That is right.
It doesn't actually apply most of the time. Like, most of the time, it's not championship or bust. Most of the time, it's have a great season, mm-hmm. right? And you know, as fans, there are fan bases and circumstances where it feels that way. Like the Jets may feel that way, but the reality is, if the Jets come in and win two playoff games, they're going to feel pretty good about what they did. Mm-hmm. Now, they will have wanted to win a Super Bowl, but when you look at the Chiefs, it's as real of a Super Bowl or bust as we've ever had. If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it will be a disappointment. Mm-hmm. They could get to the Super Bowl and lose on a last-second field goal. Mm-hmm. It will be a disappointing season.
Right.
There's only one singular goal, and it's history. And it's for everybody. Inside the locker room, yeah, they always want to win a champ. But you're talking about everybody mm-hmm. now thinks of it that way. Mm-hmm. They've got a chance at history. Mm-hmm. Paul, you can't guarantee me we'll have back-to-back. How long? I mean, it took us, what, 20 years to take another swing at a back-to-back, even just getting the opportunity to win a third straight?
Right.
Like, this league is ripe with parity. And that's even with all of those years of Brady's greatness.
Mm-hmm. Boy,
right? All of these years of Mahomes' greatness. Mm-hmm. And you still, how it's rare to even have the chance at it.
Right. But I love the point that you made. You made such a great subtle point. You may not even realize the point you made. So let me build off of it just a little bit. And that is, you said, well, you know, for a lot of teams, it'll be, you know, if you could get to the second round, third round of the playoffs, if you can event, and you think to yourself, yeah, but you don't win a Super Bowl championship. But you know what you do? You put the mindset of championships in your brain. You say, you know something, we got this far, we can go. It's something to build on. Let me put it this way. You know, the expectations between, let's say, the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me pick out a mediocre team or a good team, something, not the worst team, but maybe a good team. How about the Cleveland Browns? You think the expectations for a season are different. They're different in the thinking. They're different in the way they approach things. Or maybe the Indianapolis Colts. Or pick a team that's sort of any team in the middle. It doesn't really matter.
So.
Yeah. I know so.
Now,
you know so.
But you know, the players and the coaches aren't thinking that way. They're trying to think championship or bust. But reality is not that.
No.
Right.
No,
Everybody's reality is different.
Can't get past the reality.
You know, in Buffalo.
That's a different situation.
Cincinnati.
Oh, that's a different situation.
Kansas City, San Francisco.
Well,
maybe like Philadelphia. Like that's
maybe that's all. Maybe Dallas.
Yeah.
No, throw Dallas in.
But
go ahead.
But that's, you know, those teams are looking at it like that's their next step. There's a lot of teams that would feel like they had great years, even if they don't win a Super Bowl. I just think the Chiefs. It's interesting because when there is no like room for variance in what the expectation is from anybody, how do you find motivation for that in week two? You know, like how do you not look to that ultimate goal? And the Chiefs are good at doing that. But I thought it was really interesting yesterday. To me, the most interesting thing that came out of camp was Patrick Mahomes basically saying last year was not fun. Because they struggled through the regular season. And I think that is the easy place to go, and I think that sets the tone right there. If Patrick Mahomes is saying that to the media, you know he's saying that inside that locker room. Like, we can't play with fire like that again. We're fortunate to get out of that. We have to be better early if we want to get to where we're going. And I think they're a better team than they were a year ago. Now, do all the circumstances come together like they did a year ago? Who knows? That's what makes it so unpredictable in the NFL. I mean, it is so wild and crazy. But if you're looking for motivation early on, what are we at, July 17th? That's a pretty good place to start. And you know what's interesting about it? You hear things where you sort of roll your eyes like, okay, yeah, you won back-to-back Super Bowl championships. But I'll bet if we pulled 10 out of 10 people that watched Chiefs games last year, They'd agree. Yeah, that regular season was not fun.
Yeah.
Like, they could have been much better. So it's not even that it's fake. Like, it's very real. Like, that was not a fun ride. That wasn't a fun experience for most of last season. You know, it ended in a good place. But my God, like, that, it was rough in the regular season.
Yeah.
It took people like me trying to calm people down for 2 months. Like,
right.
Hey, tight, everybody. Like, they're going to be okay. They'll be all right.
The ride
panic.
The ride is supposed to be fun, Jacob. The ride is supposed to be good.
It is when you're the Chiefs. I mean, that's kind of that's kind of what they are. We'll get more into it. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, both talking yesterday. We'll take you through some of what they had to say and dig in a little bit. Training camp really gets sort of fully going this weekend, as does the TBT. We'll have Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, on. He can look ahead from a, you know, sort of from an administrative perspective and from a Wichita State perspective of what that tournament means, how it's looking. We'll also have Connor Frankamp on tomorrow from the Aftershocks to talk about that as well. Big event coming up this weekend. All right, we're going to get into the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We'll look ahead to the Royals, you know, unofficial second half. We know they're more than halfway there, but this is that break of the Major League Baseball season. We've got all of this. We're connected. We're ready to roll. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. It is Sports Daily, and we're coming right back right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Wednesday. We are connected and ready to roll. Thanks for jumping in with us on KFH, of course, driving around, listening to us. If you ever hop out of your car and need to keep us going, you can go to the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, and check it out. If you're by a computer at work, by your smart TV, of course, we welcome you in from 12 News Connected. Glad to be with you. However it is you take in the show, apologies if you're just getting your first look at Mr. Savage over there. Man, I do love the Hawaiian shirt, though, Paul. I'm a Hawaiian shirt guy.
Yeah, all you women over 60, control yourself. Just, you know,
easy.
Come on, take it easy.
Easy there, ladies.
Take it easy, ladies. I mean, thank you, Jacob. Yeah. Thanks for having my back.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I got to do one thing. You know something? It's been so darn hot. You notice the heat here lately? It has been hot. We need to get, could we get like one of those? My mom's got this big jug where it says tea on it. It's ceramic, has a little spout. Can we get, is there a way that I could bring that down here to the studio and set that up and have you keep it full of H2O iced tea? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
we've got to do something. We've got to do something. What can we do? You got to figure this out.
Let's help folks out. Let's give away some HTO right now.
Okay.
Let's do our text to win contest. We'll start it with HTO today, and we'll do it right now. You can text the keyword T to short code 20357. You can enter once per day. What that'll get you is a free iced tea, which you can get fulfilled at either Wichita location, east or west, or in Derby, more than 20 flavors to choose from. Or you can get some hot or iced coffee on these hot days, free rain coffee. And you can do that as well. You'll get one of each, tea, coffee, right now. Ooh, just text the keyword tea to short code 20357.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
Got a question for Jad real quick before we get off this.
Sure.
Has anybody ever texted in and spelled it T-E? You know something? Because of golf, you know, I would probably spell that T-E-E. Now, if you spell T-E-E, is it okay? Will they still win, Jacob? Is that the rules?
Yes, they will. I believe so. Good. There's a couple of alternate words just in case people get it wrong.
But good. Okay.
Because
I would get it wrong. I would spell it T-E-E just because of golf, you know.
Yeah. No, T-E-A.
Okay.
As in
all right.
You know, because we're giving away T. All right. So, All-Star Game, Paul. Where's Major League Baseball's All-Star Game for you?
Well,
are you in? Were you tuned in? Are you in and out? How do you feel about it?
Well, I watched the first few. And by the way, who wouldn't tune in to watch Paul Skenes? I mean, I'm tuning in. I'm in on this guy. And interestingly enough, I know you probably remember this, but remember when we were in the first week or two of season and you brought him up to me? And I said, well, you know, I'm just not familiar. You know, I've heard of him, but I really don't know much about him, you know, and I'm a believer now. Boy, he was in command, you know, very nice one inning. I mean, I wanted to see more. I'm not going to lie to you. I wanted to But I get it.
The Pirates may have stormed the field if they did any more than what they did.
That's right. I know that. But, I mean, there was a day, and you and I are old enough to remember, there was a day guys would go 2, 3, 4 innings. But we've also seen games where, you know, you start running out of pitchers. We've seen that before as well, haven't we? But I'd like to have seen him more. He was, I think, for me, the highlight of the game, and there you go, first inning, my highlight's gone. Although there were some great moments, you know.
I mean, Shohei had a bomb.
Had a bomb, and that was a big bomb, and And it was fun. I liked the uniform. I really liked the uniforms. I liked I liked the logo of every team on the cap. There was a lot about the game I enjoyed. And by the way, I'll just say this. Congratulations to Major League Baseball. You've kept an All-Star game as much like a regular game as anybody else. I mean, look at the NFL. They don't even do it. Basketball, Jacob. I refuse. If you tell me you're going to fire me unless I watch, you know, I may let you fire me if you say you got to watch the NBA All-Star game. I may quit because I'm not doing it.
I agree baseball is the most watchable and perhaps the only watchable. Certainly the only one I'm ever tuning into. I get more joy probably these days out of the Derby. I think the Derby is great. I think it's the best all-star thing that happens every year. But Major League Baseball's all-star game is good because they can play it at full speed, right? There's no risk or anything else. You just play. You play the way you always play. Right. And that's why I think that's a part of the reason it's always been really good. One of the other parts is there's nothing, literally nothing else happening. It has always had the stage to itself. And so it's great. Yesterday you had the Derby, then the Derby was sort of swallowed up by the poor performance of the national anthem, and that sort of took the headlines, which I'm not sure that's all, you know, bad news for Major League Baseball. People were talking about the home run derby for that reason, but they were, and good luck to that young woman, and as she, you know, tries to get some help. She says she was drunk and is going to rehab now, which I don't know, Paul. I've had a few late night karaoke's in my day, and I feel like it made me perform better, right?
at least
in my own head. But no, for real. Good luck to her and her recovery. I hope that goes okay. It certainly explains some things. But that was sort of that became the headline from the home run derby, even though I thought the derby itself was incredible. Mm-hmm. But you got your Royals. Cole Reagans looked good. You got Royals into the game. Everything was there for you in the All-Star game. It was a close game as they typically are. That also helps with the All-Star game as they're usually pretty close. And I think for what these exhibitions are, baseball gets it the most right. I think they have the most fanfare for sure. And I think there's a lot of reasons for it. It's a break in the season is certainly one of those reasons. But it is still fun, I think, Paul, if you're a fan of a team, to watch the All-Star game to try and get to see your player play.
Sure.
And we do want to see Paul Skeens take on some of the big league's best pitchers. We do want to see Shohei Ohtani hit a massive home run in the game. Like we get all of that out of that game, and that makes it fun. And I appreciate it for what it is. It's by far the best of the exhibitions.
Right.
But last night was good. The American League wins, which, you know, is the way it should be. We all feel good about that.
They were
slight favorites in the game. I didn't bet anything in the All-Star game, by the way. It went slightly over, 7.5. The All-Star game is not typically a lot of runs scored. Mm-hmm. How about here's a couple. I don't know, because nobody ever sees him. The A's have a closer, a young kid named Mason Miller. Threw it 103.6 miles an hour in the All-Star game.
Right.
Fastest pitch, hardest pitch they've ever had in the All-Star game.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, there were guys nibbling around 100 all night long. There were, well, not a lot of guys, but I mean, you know, 100 was being nibbled at, but this guy was breaking the sound barrier on that, and that was really interesting to see, wasn't it?
It was. And he had Skeens. Skeens, I thought you said that was your number one takeaway.
That's what I wanted
to see. 1-2-3 inning. But he got Soto and Judge, which is what everybody wanted to see.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. It was great. It was great. And we had everything we wanted. And, you know, I think Shohei's home run was probably the thing for me. He's still the king of baseball. Mm-hmm. And will be. But there are a lot of other exciting things happening in baseball, whether it's Skeens, whether it's a guy like Miller showing people some of the juice that young and Bobby Witt Jr. in the home run derby.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr. in the home
That's
run
right.
derby.
Bobby Witt Jr.
You know,
was good.
Is everybody has the same idea and thoughts that, hey, this thing's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And the future of baseball is bright, right?
That's right. And of course, what's going to be fun is to watch the next couple of weeks, because the next couple of weeks, we're going to see some teams buying. We're going to see some teams selling. We're going to see some teams, you know, doing what they got to do to get get into the pennant or to win a pennant. We're going to see some teams. And, you know, the question is going to be, there's going to be teams that have to ask themselves the question, are we buyers or are we sellers? Or are we one of those teams that's just going to kind of, you know, play it cautious and stay where we are? It'll be very interesting to see where some teams end up, what some teams end up doing. And we're only 2 weeks now away from the trade deadline. Is it 2 days, 2 weeks and a day, or 2 weeks and 2 days? Whatever it's right there. We're right there.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about all of that here in the second hour. We're going to take a quick pivot here. Joining us now on the program on Sports Daily, CJ Wilson, Dam Jam, coming up in Goddard now. A very famous festival. That's this weekend, the 19th and the 20th. Just a quick rundown of some of these artists. Brantley Gilbert, Stone Temple Pilots, Dustin Lynch, Jody Messina, Wheeler Walker Jr., Smile Empty Soul. All kinds of performers out there in Goddard for this two-day event. CJ Wilson in to give us a little bit of a preview here. Welcome into Sports Daily. CJ, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me. Things are exciting at the Dam Jam. The property looks beautifully just laid out perfectly. I just love it so much. And the grass is green and the temperatures are lovely right now.
They are.
Yeah, you're going to get good weather,
right?
Like that's
tremendous.
As we look, at least it's not 109 or whatever the feels like has been. So,
yes,
you know, CJ, what is, tell us, because this is different now. And I know it's been a roller coaster for you guys to get this set up the way it is. Just briefly, if you can, we're in Goddard now, but what can people expect that might know something about the history of this concert or maybe have never heard about it before at all?
Well, the history of the concert is, some people get us confused a little bit with Dam Music Festival, which we're not. We're a new organization that started the Dam Jam, but the State Lakes changed their ordinances or kind of what they were doing at State Lakes because they don't really need the revenue now. After COVID, everybody bought a camper. So they got rid of large events at State Lakes in Kansas. So then we went to Lake Afton, but then we got pushed out of Lake Afton, but that was for reasons of safety resources. So we gained our own safety resources, which are amazing. And Goddard opened their arms and said, hey, we can make this happen. Let's do it here. And, you know, the goal of the Dam Jam has always been tourism, like to raise money for our economy. And then, of course, we have our own nonprofit, which is Community Jam Force, UJAM, so we can. And we have, like, homeless events, and we help organizations with nonprofits. And then we also do different things like we help the veterans with Nation of Patriots. It's just a really awesome event that does a lot for the community, but it has definitely been a really, really hard ride, especially these last 9 months with everything being so different at a new location. You know, we were planning for 7 months when we took this pivot to Goddard. And so just the last few months, we've had this great opportunity to have the event in Goddard, but it's a 40-acre field that now we've turned in to beautiful green grass. We have roads. We have all kinds of great things. We have sandy beach. We have a pond with a dam. So it's really awesome what the property has turned into. We're excited for everybody to come out and enjoy it. We do a lot of things for the community, so the entertainment there's fun. Even Tanganyika is coming out with a few animals, and that property's really been completely redone by the Cars company, the Cars Plumbing, Heat, and Air. They have been working for months on the property, cleaning it up, making it look perfect, and now we have our red, white, and blue fencing up. The big, huge, giant, like 110-foot-wide stage is here with all the screens and everything on the side, so it's going to be a really good show. If you don't have it on your schedule now, I definitely say come and check it out. And then we have a car show and a cornhole tournament on Saturday from 11 to 2 that you don't even need a ticket. You can come check things out and see the car show and the cornhole tournament. And then if you decide to stay for the concert, you can get a ticket.
So, CJ, tell us then, how can people get a ticket? What do those costs look like and what does it take? You assume you guys still have some. What do people need to know and how can they get them?
They can get tickets online at thedamjam.com. We have VIP and general admission, has all the pricing online for you, and you can also buy day tickets as well. So if you can only come Friday or Saturday, you can get a day ticket. And camp or parking is completely included in that. So if you want to camp, you can camp in your car. You can get a primitive site or an electric site. Those prices are also online. And then, of course, parking and everything is included. So if you get a VIP ticket, you get VIP parking. If you get GA ticket, you get general admission parking. And it's all inclusive. We want to make it simple for the customer.
All right, CJ Wilson, Damn Jam, damjam.com. That is coming up Friday and Saturday. You're going to get great weather, and you're going to get all kinds of big-time artists. CJ, we appreciate you hopping on here, and good luck this weekend.
Hey, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time today. We're excited to be partnering up with you guys and excited to have you guys at the event. So thank you so much for being a part of the Damn Jam. We appreciate it.
You bet. And in the spirit of that, let's give away some tickets.
To
everything here. Yeah. So we'll try to get on that and look at that. But damjam.com is the place to be July 19th and 20th. It's the biggest party in Kansas. Again, Brantley Gilbert, Stone Temple Pilots, Dustin Lynch, Jody Messina, Wheeler Walker Jr., all kinds of big time names. So damjam.com, get that checked out. All right, let's come back. Paul, we'll wrap up this hour. We're going to look at the Royals in the second half. We're going to get back to Chiefs training camp. All kinds of good stuff for you here. It's Sports Daily. It's a Wednesday. It's all Brockton Savage. Chad Chambers driving that ship. We'll be right back.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
If you have retirement questions,
everybody, it is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage on this Wednesday, a midweek edition. Paul, it's you know, on the sports calendar, this is officially, well, unofficially, the slowest time of the sports year right now.
Right.
Right? In the days, the 2 days after the Major League Baseball All-Star break, that Wednesday and that Thursday, where you've got a chance to sort of catch your breath and get ready for, if you've got a team in the chase, like we do with the Royals, the NFL season, you'll see kind of training camps. You do get the Open Championship, the British Open, coming up this
weekend.
It's
coming up.
We get things like the TBT, which break that up for us. But these are those 2 days. So we'll take a little time in the second hour and reset our brains a little bit for a few things.
Well, it's not a totally accurate statement that this might be this. Listen, right here in our studio right now, Jad and I have on ESPN, we're watching women's water polo. So, I mean, it's not
Well, we do have the Olympics come. When are the Olympics? Olympics start? Are you in on the Olympics?
Oh, well, you know something? I want to say I will be, and I will be. There's no question I will be. But the problem is this buildup has been what seems to have been not as active as in past Olympics.
I agree.
I'm not tuned in yet. I'm not sure of anything. You know, what we know is that the men's basketball team's having problems. You know, you got guys coming and going. Guys may or may not play. I don't know.
Be fine.
You think so?
Yeah, they'll be fine.
But that, you know, other than men's basketball, if we didn't have that, what would we be talking about? Because there hasn't been a lot of conversation. Although, you know, we know there's been tryouts and there are tryouts going on. You see them on television every once in a while. But no, you're exactly right. For some reason, I am not tuned in. I'm not as hyped up. I'm not as aware of what's going on as I have been in other years. I don't know what the reason for that is. Is that me or is that the media?
I feel the
is
same
that
way.
The media?
No, I don't even know if it's the media.
Okay. All right.
I don't know why. The biggest thing for me that tampers it is I don't like the time change. I have a hard time with now because we know results, we know all these things. You know, back in the old days, like, you really had to look. You could watch, and if you didn't, you know, read the paper or whatever it was, you could watch and be surprised by outcomes even if they were tape delayed. Can't do that anymore. Mm-mm. So I have had a harder time with the time difference in more recent Olympics when they're not close to our time zone. I'll tune into everything like late at night, but I have a harder time when I know I'm not watching something live or if I already know the result or things like that. So it is a little harder for me. I do think though, like with my kids now, they just finished a swim season. So there'll be things in it where we can watch it and I think get some enjoyment. But it definitely isn't something like I can't think of a singular event where I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see XYZ. And that's not a knock on any of the athletes. I'll be hyped up when we get there. But I agree, the build has felt a little lower than it has in the past. I don't know why that is.
Right.
I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, my understanding is, though, is that things are behind in terms of promotion, in terms of ticket sales. Now, Paris is a heck of a town. I mean, that's a heck of a town.
You ever been?
I've been to France, but I've never been to Paris. I was in France once. But it wasn't Paris. If you can believe that, that sounds nuts, doesn't it? But it was.
It does sound nuts.
I went to Germany, and it was a side trip to France. But it was a lot of fun. It's a wonderful country. The people are very, very, very nice, and I really liked France a lot. But you know, right now, you know, I've read several stories on the publications that you and I both watch that things are running slow. Things are the interest in Paris does not seem to match, you know, the event, the hype of the Olympics. Things are going slow. I think there's still going to be the possibility that you're going to see some venues that aren't full. And I think that's going to be a real possibility.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Olympics in general. I don't know. I generally speaking, can get behind any country versus country competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that part of it.
Is America ready? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I assume so. Well, I typically like the summer over the Winter Olympics. I like both, actually. I'm probably a bigger
fan.
You're
a Texas guy. You never see snow. Well, you do where you're from. That's not an accurate statement from where you're from.
You can get
20 inches of snow in one big deal, and it's blowing on top of that, blowing snow.
Yeah, it's going snows sideways.
That's right. So I guess that's – but, you know, it's going to be interesting. When it gets here, you know, we will follow it. It's always fun, and it's USA. We got pride in our country. We're going to root for our country.
It is not the same, though. I agree. It's not drop everything. And I think the time zone has something to do with that. But it is the Olympics, and we'll have fun with it, and we're excited about it. But I agree. It has felt softer, like a softer approach than in the past. I mean, we have SEC Media Days happening right now. We have training camp for the Chiefs starting. There really isn't a slow time. It's just today and tomorrow, like unofficially, if you talk to people, at least in my experience in the sports media, like these are those 2 days where you do have a chance to catch your breath a little bit.
Make me a promise.
We're going to get into
make me a quick promise.
Yeah, what's that?
We get to talk a little SEC because there's been some comments coming out of this.
Yeah, media catch us day. Up. Give us Paul's biggest takeaways from SEC Media Days.
Let's do it. If you don't
in
mind,
the second
I,
hour.
If
I
you
like
don't
it.
Mind,
no, I do.
Okay.
I don't mind. I like it. I like it. We're going to try to connect with Kevin Saul when we come back. We'll get a quick update on TBT, how that's going for Wichita State as it pertains to really all the teams. We know the aftershocks, and we're going to talk to them later this week. But we'll get that coming in the second hour as well. Look ahead a little bit for the Royals. And, yeah, I like that. Paul's going to give us his big SEC takeaways. That's all coming for you. Now, hour number two of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage. Don't go away.
Yester.
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, and we welcome you back in for hour number two here of Sports Daily. It's a Wednesday edition. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you. The IHOP hotline is going to be open after we chat with Kevin Saul, 869-1240. Kevin, welcome into Sports Daily. Hope the summer is treating you well. How's your tan?
We're doing fine, Jacob. How are you? Paul, good to hear your voice here, and thanks for having us on the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look, it's a fun time, I hope, for you guys to kind of sit back and enjoy what's coming this weekend, to really get to soak in some of the great history, not just for Wichita State basketball, which I know matters the most to you guys, but look, the rosters for K-State and KU's alumni teams look fantastic. This is like you're a college basketball fan, and you watch some of these players. You got Frank Mason and Thomas Robinson on the same team. Jacob Pullen's out there for K-State. Of course, the aftershocks now have continuity up and down the roster, which is going to give them a great chance to win. But this is looking like it's just going to be a really, really fun year for the TBT.
Yeah, I think so. It's you know, we kick it off on Saturday with four games. The Aftershocks play at noon. K-State's team goes up against Colorado at 2. Then you've got a Florida and L.A. group going at 5, and then Kansas and Colorado State's group at 7. So we got four games on Saturday, which will be really, really good. Long day of that. Then we've got a 6 o'clock and an 8 o'clock taking the winners of those on Monday night. And then we get the final game on Wednesday with the possibility, guys, depending on how it all shakes out, with the possibility of getting a quarterfinal game.
You know, when you look at the Shocks and the tournament that's about to roll, how much does that help Shocker basketball overall? I've always kind of thought to myself, it's got to be pretty cool, because is it used to recruit? Is it used to say once you're – I mean, I know this is crazy and everybody wants to get to the NBA, but I've always thought there's got to be a connection between Wichita State for the good and this tournament, particularly when Wichita State always seems to be a team that's going to get more than its share of home games because of the crowd, because of the love of basketball, because of the love of Shocker basketball, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. I think there are subtle and overt messages.
Yes, well said.
When you host those things, right? I think the subtle unconsciousness piece of it is when you're in the summer and you really have Major League Baseball and that's the only thing going on, and you're flipping around on the TV and you catch a basketball game and you're seeing the big Shocker in the middle of the floor. I think that's an example of maybe the subtle, indirect messaging. But you can certainly bet that both of our programs are using the TBT as a measure of importance to basketball for our city, our region, and they're taking a more overt approach to that. You know, TBT specifically, I think we've talked about on your show before, guys. My first AD stop at Murray State, we were interested in hosting the TBT. Murray State had a nice basketball tradition and had a great following. I think we had about 4,000 season tickets. So it was really good for our league. And so we looked at that and we got on with the TBT folks and we said, hey, who does this the best in the country? Who can we replicate? And they told us at that time it was Wichita State. So understanding that Wichita State's been on the front end of the TBT and has been going for a decade now, really strong partner. So I think it speaks to importance both subtly and overtly. But I think, guys, AUX softball does the same thing. Hosting conference tournaments do the same thing. It speaks to the importance of athletics and championships to our place.
And it has to help in recruiting. A fun story. I think it was the first year or the second year of the TBT tournament. I think it was the first year when it was just nuts. We had a candidate at KWCH, and we were covering it. And she was in town interviewing for a job, for a sports job. And I was like, well, hey, let's run over to TBT. We gotta do that. And it was seeing that was like eyes big, like, oh, man, like this is awesome. And it helped bring somebody to Wichita. I can't imagine it doesn't do the same thing for the basketball
really
program.
That speaks to the power of athletic programs, right? Like we're competing for championships, but at the same time, a community the quality and size of Wichita deserves a winner, because I can't tell you how much, guys, I've heard from in the 2 years that I've been here, whether it's private business, whether it is the public sector or education, that winning programs in communities like this really drive business. And, you know, Coach Marshall's one of the things that he used to say is that he probably still would say is that when Wichita State basketball does well, the community of Wichita does well. And that is the case. You sit down with folks at Koch Industries or Cargill or USD 259 or wherever it is, there is a benefit to the Shockers playing, winning and championship basketball to so many, whether that's recruitment, whether that is quality of life, whatever the case may be. And so we don't take that lightly. And it's more than just us and what we're trying to do here. It's a whole community and a region.
It is. We tell people all the time, it's Wichita's. It feels like it's felt like this to me because I'm an outsider. So maybe it doesn't for everybody, but I think it does. It feels like it's a pro team in town. Like whether you're a, you know, K-State, KU fan, they're far away. Everybody can go catch a Shocker game. It's the first thing I noticed when I moved here in 2014, which is, of course, right at the peak. it was like, man, everybody's a Shocker fan. Everybody's into this. Everybody, like, these great conversations we were able to have, and hopefully a little of those things bleed through this weekend at the TBT. I think that they will. I think you guys will get a lot of K-State, a lot of KU, especially this year, Frank Mason being there. But it's going to be a fun atmosphere. So, Kevin, real quick, and we can talk more about the Shockers, you know, currently not the alumni team. Tickets still available. How is all that going, and how can people get out there and check out TBT, which, again, starts Saturday?
Yeah, so absolutely. Tickets are available. They can call the normal 316-978-FANS, F-A-N-S, to get tickets to TBT. Again, we got four games on Saturday, two on Monday, and then one on Wednesday with potential for a quarterfinal after that Wednesday game. The sales have been going well. You guys know how well this event is supported. And typically what we've seen historically is week of is when you get a bulk of that. So I know the ticket office staff is pretty busy this week in terms of fulfilling those orders, particularly with K-State and KU coming. And you'll get a lot of walk-up as well, provided the weather is good. And it looks like it's going to be really nice weather this week. So we'll have a busy 3 or 4 days here and getting ready for it. But it's always a great event. We're really excited about it. I can't say enough, guys, about like Brad Pittman and our operations crew, Tyler Good, Kayla Jost. Those are the folks that are making AUX softball and TBT and state high school track. I mean, we had a record attendance for state high school track this year at 30,000 over 2 days. That's an event that brings $6 to $7 million of economic impact to the community of Wichita and our county. So there's a lot of folks working really hard at it. And the beauty of it is it benefits not only us, but the city and the region.
You know, you made me think for just a second, though, Kevin, and I really appreciate the words that you spoke. I know that you have a true love for Wichita State and the history of it. But you made me think, in what you just said, you made me think of the fact that, you know, there are universities that have great history of their, and I'm going to use basketball as an example, a great history of basketball. I mean, the Kentuckys of the world, the Indianas of the world. You know, I won't include UCLA because I don't think their fans give two hoots about basketball in that community. No offense to UCLA, but I wouldn't consider them. But there are those universities that have, KU would be one of them, but that have a tremendous history. But more than a tremendous history, they have a tremendous love for the history of their sport. And I think Wichita State is one of those teams that when you think about the greats of the past, what Wichita State means to basketball and what basketball means to Wichita State, they're interchangeable, in other words. And, you know, speak to just a second about how important it has been to Wichita State to make sure that the history of Shockers stays in front of everybody. Because I can tell you right now, Wichita State is so blessed to love this sport, to love the Shockers, all in the same breath, and they speak of Shockers in almost a reverent way, don't they?
They really do, Paul, and I don't know that I could say that any better than you just said it. It is a remarkable community. It's one that I think a lot of, and it is a community that absolutely loves its basketball program. It's a state that loves its basketball programs. You can work your way around the state, whether it's at the D2, the NAIA level, the Division I level. It is a state that has produced really good basketball. When you talk to season ticket holders and fans, you guys, if you're attending games last year, you'll notice we did season ticket holders of the game that we would recognize. And we have people and couples and families that have been in here since the early 50s and the early 60s. And so they go back and we have some that you guys know I stand in the tunnel back behind the bench there. And we've got folks there that will engage and say, wow, we haven't seen that since such and such did it in 1974. And I'm thinking, wow, holy cow, these guys on the media relations team. It's a phenomenal deal. And I'll share this with you guys. This is maybe a little bit more nebulous version of it, but I hope I can articulate it well. In doing this 26 years, when you walk into stadiums and venues and you experience an event, there is a different feel from the standard average event. And then as compared to an event where you have a really engaged, passionate, urgent, and knowledgeable fan base. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can hear it, whether it's responding to a basketball play that might not be on the box score but contributes to winning. and a hustle play, getting on the floor, whatever the case may be. And that certainly exists here in Wichita, and it doesn't exist at a lot of places. We have a very passionate, urgent, knowledgeable, educated fan base that really loves their Shockers, and it's a blessing to be a part of it.
It's a blast, and we're ready for, you know, the Shockers in basketball season to get back there, both on the men's and women's side.
Ready to go.
Paul Mills last week, we're talking with Kevin Saul here, Wichita State Athletic Director. Appreciate the time on Sports Daily. Coach, I caught a sense of real excitement from him, from what he's seeing this summer out of this group. Am I reading that wrong? Are you sensing the same thing? Are you feeling the same thing from what you've seen out of the men's basketball team? I caught a pretty good air of excitement from Coach Mills last week with this group.
No, I certainly think that exists, and obviously we want to be cautiously optimistic, and certainly we got to stay healthy and all of those things. We've got a group, guys, that the competitiveness in practice is night and day difference of what we had last year, and no disrespect at all. To give you a little bit of facts, and hopefully the fan base can really absorb these things and understand that there's some truly remarkable elements that are going on in our program. The average American Athletic Conference team lost 8 players on their roster last year. We're positioned 7th strongest in of the 32 leagues, and so you see a lot of variability and movement between the American Athletic Conference. End of the day, the average team lost 8. We lost 3. We returned 5 of the top 7 scorers from last year, along with 4 guys through the portal and 2 freshmen. Zion from Houston has been performing really remarkably in practice for a freshman. Justin Hill from Georgia, 10 points a game in the SEC. I think he was 3rd in the league in assists. True point guard, really, really good. So to watch him and Xavier Bell battle it out one-on-one on the court in different drills. Zane Meeks, Quincy Ballard. We have, as you guys know, the Croatian Mate that will be here, I think, the second week in August. So you've got 3 big men there that can score in all kinds of versatile ways. 2 can shoot from outside. So, again, I think Paul and the staff have done a remarkable job this year bringing in, keeping 5 of 7 of the top scorers and then bringing in some really high-quality players. Corey Washington from St. Peter's is going to be really good, 6'6". High motor, gets to the free throw line, I think like top 20 in the country last year. So he gets in there. AJ McGinnis is a 40% shooter from 3. He came from Lipscomb and is a solid defender. So we got some really, really good pieces coming in addition to Xavier Bell, Quincy Ballard, Harlan Beverly, Ronnie DeGray, all those guys coming back. So we're really excited about it.
You know, one of the great things about this time of the year is we don't have a lot of Shocker sports going on. So I get to ask, you know, funny questions, not funny questions, but questions I've always wanted the answer to. And this is kind of an off the wall, if you don't mind, question to you. And it's this. The wonderful thing about Wichita State right now is I honestly think you've got 2 sports at Wichita State that are on the precipice of maybe becoming self-funding or maybe totally becoming a source of extra revenue for the athletic program. And I'm talking about volleyball and softball. There's an interest in those 2 sports, I think, at Wichita State that it wouldn't be surprised. And by the way, you look at volleyball, you look at Penn State, you look at Nebraska, for guys' sakes, they're playing in front of what, 20, 25,000 fans every game. You know, Wichita State with softball and volleyball is on the precipice of maybe being similar to those programs. What will it take to get Wichita State to kick volleyball and say softball? And maybe if there's something else, another sport that you think may be on that verge, let me know. But those 2 sports, what's it going to take to get those two sports right to the point where we see the Nebraskas of the world, the OU and softballs in the world? Where are we on those?
Man, Paul, we might have to go into a whole other segment here. That's a 15-minute answer right there.
Oh, good Lord, sorry.
Oh, good. No, it's good. It's good. It's really good. So obviously Coach Lamb and his staff have done a phenomenal job.
Yes, they have.
Teams, NCAA tournaments. We have a high-quality volleyball program. It has been, unfortunately, 7 years since we've made the NCAA tournament. So I think first and foremost, doing all the things that we're doing. We're outperforming in community service. We're doing things we've never done before academically, and we're telling those stories. And at the end of the day, for us as a department, the goals are pretty clear. We want to win 15 conference championships in the next 5 years. That's a very bold and aggressive goal. We want to position our programs to be in the top three resource-wise of the public institutions in our league. And we have done that with men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, softball, and baseball are all positioned in the top three so that they have the alignment of resources to expectations. At the end of the day, Paul, I think people want to be a part of championship programs. People want to be a part of things that have never been done before. So what is that in volleyball? That's getting back to the NCAA tournament. That's getting through the first week into the NCAA tournament. What is that in softball? That is a facility renovation that's much needed, not only for revenue streams, as you mentioned, but most importantly for our student-athlete experience,
right,
so that
right.
we recruit, develop, retain at a higher level than we've ever done before. And so what's the next step for softball? We got to get into a super regional weekend in softball and then eventually make the two-hour trip down to Oklahoma City. In our basketball programs, we got to be not only consistent NCAA tournament qualification teams, but we got to make deep runs. I really love the where we're headed. I think I would add baseball to that list, and it sounds goofy, Paul, to say that because of the tradition that Gene and his staff and all the players have brought to Wichita State over three decades. But at the end of the day, we haven't been in the NCAA tournament in 11 years. Last year at this time, we had three players on the roster. We had 33 in the transfer portal. Fast forward 10 months. And we're playing in the championship game of the American Athletic Conference tournament, and we get walked off in the bottom of the 10th to lose to Tulane. So that's a remarkable turnaround in 1 year. And so I think we've got a lot of really, really great people. Our student athletes think very highly of their coaches, and we have the quantitative metrics to be able to show that through our surveys. And we're trying to develop a student athlete experience that they don't desire to leave. So all of those elements play into getting our programs to the precipice of doing things that have never been done before, and then getting the Wichita State University and then the city and the region engaged in those programs as they do some remarkable things.
Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us here. One more for you, Kevin. We touched on men's basketball. How's it coming for Terry Nooner here in year two and some of the players they've brought in? What have you guys been able to see out of the Shocker women and what they could bring this year?
I'm really glad that that you asked that, Jacob, because they've done a remarkable job as well. I want to say that we have brought in eight new players on the women's basketball side. You're going to see more speed, more athleticism. You're going to see more length, more height. We've got just some unbelievable athletes that have come in. You've got a 6'6 center in Aisha. That will really create some problem matchup problems. We are guard deep. And so you've got Celise Blow, who was the state high school player of the year in Texas, had a great freshman year last year. Terry and staff were able to retain her. And you've got a really nice complement of new players coming in as well. So it was interesting. We were at Koch Industries yesterday, Jacob. We had both the men's and women's basketball teams there, and we engaged with employees and Wichita State Shockers that work at Koch Industries. And as I was circulating around the women's table, they're getting ready to go to the U.S. Virgin Islands. They're doing their foreign trip this summer, and they leave late next week. And so I said, hey, guys, what's the one thing that you're looking forward to the most in terms of excursions at the Virgin Islands? And I'll never forget it. Princess Anderson, a new guard to our program, she looked at me and she goes, winning. And I could not have been more happy with that. Winning.
Of course.
What we all want.
Coach Nooner probably couldn't have been happier either,
that's right.
I would imagine.
Pleasantly surprised and excited about where our women's program is headed.
Cool.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Good news, certainly. All right, we'll get ready for a TBT fun weekend. Kevin, we know you guys will enjoy it. We certainly will as well. See if we can't get the Aftershocks, get $1 million in their pocket. And in the meantime, watch some great KU, K-State. One of the three. Just get one of the three through, and we'll be happy. I know you guys are rooting for those Aftershocks, though. Good luck with the tournament this weekend, and we'll be watching.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate being on the show. And go Shockers.
Thanks, Kevin.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. If you want to go back and listen to any of that interview, if you joined it late, you can always do that on the Odyssey app. Chad gets those in podcast form, so you can go back and listen. By the way, speaking of Shockers, Paul Mills on last week. And go back and listen to that interview as well. You'll hear what I'm talking about. He's excited about this Shocker men's basketball team.
Should be.
That buzz is building there.
That's
for
a
this
good thing.
Season. So
you bet.
We hope it certainly pans out that way. All right, we'll come back. Paul's going to give us his big takeaways from SEC Media Days. Another star receiver asking for a trade in the NFL. Hey, hey, hey.
Not getting
it. A couple
of
guys that could change the landscape
He's
out there on the market
get
in the
it,
NFL.
Though. He's not getting it.
You got two of them that are, you know, Pro Bowl caliber players. We'll come back. We'll touch on it all as we make our way through Sports Daily. Portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Supporters of the program support their efforts to get you out there to have some fun. I'm going to go out with my 7-year-old daughter tonight and play some twilight golf. Looks like the weather's going to be good to us, so I'm going to do that. Looking forward to that. Get out there, hit it around a little bit. 36 holes to choose from. You've also got the pools. My wife's out there playing tennis all the time. All kinds of good stuff. Great
That's
clubhouse.
Good.
Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask for a tour. Check it all out. You'll see what we mean. Let's set up our NBC World Series ticket giveaway. You can do that by texting the word STRIKE. You can win NBC World Series tickets once per day here. STRIKE to 20357. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. That's STRIKE to 20357. Paul, real quick, before we get your SEC storylines, some news from the Chiefs here.
All right.
They have placed, so these are the players that are going to go on the PUP list, the active PUP list. So I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned about right now, but it's good to see Xavier Worthy not on there and back out at practice today. There's videos of him now circulating. Certainly of the rookies, you'd like to see him get out there.
Right. Well,
so Derek Nnadi, Charles Omenihue, Joe Tooney, and Jalen Watson all on that active PUP. I don't think there's a large concern about any of those guys, but just trying to work through some things. So that's the news there on the Chiefs. We may get into more on the Chiefs today. If not, we will tomorrow. All right, Paul, it's SEC Media Days. They sort of they get the stage after the Big 12 had the stage last week and created a lot of buzz, certainly. Now it's the SEC's turn. I would contend to you, Paul, and this is, you know, I'm obviously biased in this, in what I follow, but even following from afar and seeing how much it's being talked about, I think the Big 12 has been talked about last week more than we're seeing out of the SEC this week, but you've been paying attention for us. So
right.
What are you taking away now as Texas and Oklahoma enter the league?
Well, here's the thing that the big takeaway, at least for me at this point. Now, well, what I'm about to say may change, and it may change on behalf of the SEC. Who knows what's going to happen? But right now the SEC is saying, you know something, everybody? We're fine with 16 teams. We're bringing aboard Texas. We're bringing aboard Oklahoma. That's probably it for a while. We have no interest in making our team or making our league any larger. Now, when they say that, when the SEC, because who drives the boat? Well, the SEC drives the boat on just practically everything
sure.
with regards to realignment, don't they? That's the team. That's the league that controls everything. Now, maybe to a little bit lesser extent would be the Big Ten. Don't get me wrong, the Big Ten's, you know, pretty important and probably second on that list of who drives what. But with the SEC saying, we're happy at 16, we don't think we need to go anywhere else. We think we've got a good group. This is a group that can basically control, you know, football at the college level for a long, long, long time to come. And I'm not going to argue with them because I think they can make a case for that with about what? A half a dozen teams that have the potential of winning a national championship at any given time. So I'm with them on that. But I find that interesting because when they say that, if you look over the overall landscape, that means there's not a lot left for the Big 12 to do or the ACC or even the Big 10 for that matter. And, of course, the Pac-12 is now, you know, basically non-existent. Although I did find it interesting, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, that Washington State and Oregon State, Jacob, as you know, are going to be able to honor the bowl commitments of the Big 12. So, you know, those two teams are going to be guaranteed.
The Pac-12.
I'm sorry, the Pac-12. So they're going to be able
to. So somebody's going to the Rose Bowl?
Well, that's the list of bowls that I saw did not include the Rose Bowl, but it was some other bowls. I mean,
so they're really
their bowls.
So they're really not fulfilling the only bowl that the Pac-12. Yeah,
that would be right. That was not on the list. But on the other hand, you know, the fact is that the playoffs have taken a lot of those bowls out of the circulation with some of these teams. But anyway, with that being said, I found it interesting because right now I think we're in for a quiet period. You know, it seems like
The Big 12's trying to disrupt things again. I think Florida State and Clemson are wanting out in the Big 12.
And where are they going?
Find a path.
No, where will they? Oh, the Big 12. I thought if I was Clemson and those guys, I would say I'm one of these days. The SEC
didn't want them.
Not now. Not this moment.
Nah, they don't. They're already in those areas. They don't gain. If the SEC here would be my thought on it. And I've
you're going TV on me. You're going TV on me, aren't you?
I have heard, you know, people talk about this. I've talked to people. I don't think there is interest from the SEC in Florida State or Clemson. They're already in South Carolina. And they're already in Florida. I think the interest for them is certainly North Carolina, and maybe like Virginia. They don't have to rush it, though. They're saying they're good because they can be good if they don't ever do another thing, and they'd be fine. But don't make any mistake. If the Big 12 can pull this off, if Brett Yormark can pull this off and light the match that burns up the ACC, which I think they're probably trying to do, then, yeah, the SEC at that point, if teams become available, then they'll have interest. And be like, oh, you know what? Maybe we ought to take on North Carolina. I think they'd love to have North Carolina. Makes a ton of sense. And then the Big Ten will, you know, they'll kind of come in and take their pickings, and they probably have interest in you know, Virginia, maybe Duke, whatever, just Miami fit into all this. But if the Big 12 can light the match against Clemson and Florida State, which, I think they want to do it, those become two of your, if not your biggest, football brands. I mean, they're at least right there with everybody else. And they certainly add to the league because the Big 12 and the Big 12 TV deal, remember, Paul, doesn't last forever. It goes away pretty soon. So if the Big 12 is going to get where they want to be and then, you know, all these things we've talked about, it does make some sense. If there is any interest whatsoever in the possibility of adding Florida State and Clemson, which I'm not sure anybody would have thought at one point, then now's the time, because if you can light that and get that going, then things will probably begin to crumble a little bit for the ACC, because then at that point it's like, okay, well, the SEC, maybe they go after North Carolina, and then maybe the Big Ten goes after, you know, Duke, Virginia, Miami, and now what do you have left? And that's when, sort of like we saw in the Pac-12, and we know Brett Yormark's capable of this because he did it with Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's like, all right, well, we can see that sinking ship. Where's our life preserver?
Mm-hmm.
And then you toss one out, and you clean up the rest of the thing, and the Big 12 becomes this massive mega league that has always been the protection of itself. You add to basketball, they go to the table for a new TV deal here pretty quick, and then I think, which Brett Yormark talked about, they can be financially competitive with the SEC and the Big Ten.
You know something?
So there is a path for it.
Right, right. And I think what you've articulated is probably pretty accurate. It also gives me solace in the fact that, you know, when you're talking about adding Virginia, talking about adding North Carolina, you're talking about states with good populations, big populations.
Well, states where their footprint already isn't expanded into
is the thing that I've always heard is interesting. Yeah, but that gives me solace because I don't think they'll go after, say, the University of Kansas. They'll never go after Kansas State, I can tell you that. But I don't think they'd ever go after the University of Kansas, partly because...
Well, it won't matter. If the Big 12, Paul, if the Big 12 can pull this off, there won't be any need or desire for teams to leave the Big 12 because they will be in a similar financial footing as the other leagues. It is the path. It is the best path for the Big 12. I don't think there's any question about that. And the safety in the Big 12 is if they can get the product and the league where it needs to be by the time they orchestrate that next TV deal, and they can get competitive with the Big Ten and the SEC, there's no need to go anywhere else if you're any of these schools.
You know, the way you have framed this, it makes me think, what is the future of West Coast football? I mean, Washington has landed. Oregon has landed.
What was the recent past of West Coast college football, though?
Well,
you know what I mean?
It was never as good as the West wanted you to think it was. Those in the West, it was never as good.
No, it may have, and it may have been as, you know, as competitive, but it was never as popular.
But not,
it's
not,
just not as popular.
Not with TV numbers, not with what one would look at in your business.
Right.
Good football,
but I don't
want
to ignore
football.
The I don't want to ignore what USC has pulled off, what Oregon has pulled off.
No, that's true.
But holistically, like it's nice to be out there in that time window.
Right. No, that's right.
But I mean, college football has never been the biggest draw on the West Coast. That's fine. They have other things that they're interested in. There's no problem with that.
You ever been to a Cal game?
You know, right?
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful stadium, seats a lot of people, and nobody's there. So go ahead. But I got you. Go ahead.
I just, it's all, I thought there would be a longer pause too. The thing that threw me off of it all was what the Big 12 did with Colorado. When we heard that they sort of paid Colorado a little money to be that first, you know, that first one that started it all. Why wouldn't you do that same thing for Clemson and Florida State?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can raise the money. I think they can raise the money fairly easily. And I think you can raise that money and use it exclusively to help them with their buyouts. Because, Paul, if you're Kansas State leadership, let's say, and you're sitting there and Brett Yormark is, let's say he gets a private equity investment of $50 million, which I think is totally doable. He gets on the phone, he's talking to the, you know, to the presidents and the athletic directors and says, here's the deal, guys. I got $50 million. We're not gonna just spread that out among the universities. You may not see a direct benefit of that $50 million. I'm gonna go use that $50 million and I'm gonna give it to Clemson. I'm gonna give it to Florida State to help them get out of the ACC and into the Big 12.
Mm.
And in turn, we're gonna make this league stronger so that the next time we go to the bargaining table with these TV networks, we've got a league that we think can compete financially or even exceed it because of our basketball brand with the SEC and the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me to go get that done.
Yeah.
If you're in the K-State chair, what do you say to that?
Wow. Well, of course, what you say is, you know,
I say go do it.
Where's the money? If the money's there, what are you going to say? You're going to say, yeah, that's what you're going to do.
Well, you're going to, you know, because I think there's some.
We're talking
like,
money here.
Like, well, but you got to think, if they take a private equity investment, I think they're going to in some capacity.
Well, there's
going to be, you know, people that are like, well, hang on a minute. Why don't we just use that for the schools that are already here?
Right.
But the reality is it's all about what is the best way to position this league. Mm-hmm. Not only does it help you financially, but it's the safety mechanism that is ultimately needed to survive. The SEC and the Big Ten are not in any danger. They don't feel any danger because they're the power brokers because they can, you know, wield the most money. Well, the Big 12 lost Texas and Oklahoma, two of the five most valuable college brands in the country. You're never going to get that back, singularly.
No.
But there is strength in numbers. We've always known that. It's why we initially thought the Big 12 and the Pac-12 should merge, and the Pac-12 didn't do it, and guess what? Big 12 said, all right, fine. We'll make the decision for you.
Yeah.
You know, we think the same thing should happen with the ACC right now.
Yeah.
They can't do it
right. Because
of this bad TV deal. Mm-hmm. So how can you push the envelope? Well, you could help their biggest brands with those buyouts with some money. Mm-hmm. They did it for Colorado.
Right.
And on a much smaller scale,
but
it happened.
Right. But in the ACC, let's not you know, forget, because we have to consider to a certain extent lawsuit going on with all this stuff that we've been talking about. There are active lawsuits. But can I go out on a limb and make a really dumb prediction? You might like. I give you permission to laugh at me. But here's a prediction I'm going to make. The SEC, in their effort to make a league that is unbelievable, they'll pick one more team. They'll go to 17, and then they'll cut a team. I'm making the prediction right now that within the next 5 years, Vanderbilt is jettisoned from the SEC.
I doubt it.
And then you look at one team. Who do we need to bring in? Is it a
North Carolina, Notre Dame?
Well, no. No, I'm talking about where if you had jettisoned Vanderbilt. By the way, what does Vanderbilt bring to this thing? They got
probably a lot of money. Probably a lot of money.
Well, they it's not a big school. It's not a big alumni base. They already have an SEC team in the same state, which is the state of Tennessee. They already have Tennessee, and trust me, Vanderbilt is a poor sister compared to Tennessee, and you know that.
Yeah, now they're protected, or they wouldn't still be the same way Rutgers is protected, I think. But
Rutgers is a different, everybody
wants to think of where Notre Dame's going to go. Why would Notre Dame go anywhere? Why would they do that? They don't have to do that.
Well,
they already have their own TV deal. They've already got a seat at the table. They don't need to go anywhere yet. Now, if they need to go somewhere, where would they go? That would be the interesting question. I would imagine with all the rivalries existing in the Big Ten and all the, you know, the footprint, they would go to the Big Ten. But who knows?
Well,
I'd call them if I was a Big 12.
What happened
say,
is
hey,
teams say, I don't want to play you, Notre Dame. And when that day comes, and it may come, people say, well, why do we want to play Notre Dame? Let's not do it.
Yeah.
And that could happen.
So.
That could happen.
Maybe so. All right, we'll continue the conversation. I want to get Paul's thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. We'll have that next. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sports Daily right here on KFH Radio. Paul Savage, Jacob Albrock, Dad Chambers still throwing those switches for me, and I'm sure appreciative of that. Regarding the SEC and the meetings going on, boy, this is fascinating because there's so much going on in college football behind the scenes that it's really hard to get a handle for or make a prediction. But, you know, that's what we do right here on Sports Daily is we try to figure out what's going to happen and be on the cutting edge of what's about to take place. And in college football, it's really fascinating because money is running obviously is running everything. But you look at Georgia and the University of Georgia, for instance, and inside the SEC, they've got all kinds of problems with kids and arrests and that kind of thing. You look at some of the other schools, they've got all sorts of sets of problems as well. You look at what the SEC has done with regards to Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and it's really smart for those two teams to do that. I think with the future of football, you know, I'm not going to fault Oklahoma. I'm not going to fault Texas. I wish they weren't going, but they are going to the SEC. It's just one of those realities of what they think is best for them. And, of course, the SEC is really unique in terms of having to go into the process of making a decision. Horns down. Is it legal? Is it a penalty? Can you do it? What times can you do it? And if you can do it at these times, can you do it at certain other periods of a football game? And the SEC has made the horns down gesture. Now, I've never done that. You know, I'm no fan of Texas. I'm a Baylor guy. I've never gone horns down. I don't want to do horns down. I don't want to disrespect the University of Texas. But with regards to the sign of horns down, which is sort of like calling them a bad name, and that's what that is, horns down. The horns down can be are signatures or gestures that can be shown. However, the caveat is that gesture cannot be made in a taunting way. In other words, You score over a DB, a receiver makes a great catch in the end zone. Boom, there you go.
Paul, who
you
can't cares? Just give. Who cares if somebody does a horn?
I'm a Southwest Conference guy. I care. That's who cares.
Why?
I care.
It's a fan talking trash. You don't want fans talk. Why does Texas get so offended by that? Like, who cares? We make fun of our competition all the time.
Well,
that's what fans do.
It's a big deal. It's been made a big deal.
Yeah,
Other people have made a big deal of this.
Nothing makes Texas look like a bigger bunch of sissies than getting offended by a horns down.
Well, in the last few days, this has been a big deal, has it not? I mean, it's been
a big deal for them. Nobody else cares, and the only reason people do it is because they know it bothers them so much. Like, I mean, come on, it's like your brother, like, just goes and tattles on you and does stuff. What are you going to do? Mom and dad aren't looking, you're going to do it even more to mess with them.
That's what our moms always said. My mom said, you don't have any reaction to when somebody taunts you, and they won't do it very long.
They'll leave you alone.
But if you give them reactions,
that's the oldest trick in the book.
It is.
Real quick, Paul, do you root for Texas and Oklahoma to be successful in the SEC? I do. Now, I suppose I wouldn't mind, maybe getting popped in the mouth this first year as just like a, good luck over there. But ultimately, I really do want, I would love to see Texas and Oklahoma dominate the SEC.
Well,
people in the SEC have, they've been all spoiled and thinking they're the best. I would love to see somebody step in there and shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, can I split my ticket? Do you mind? I'm going to split my ticket right here. I don't want to see OU have any success in the SEC. However, with Texas, you got to remember, I've played against those guys, and it's been a
What is the difference? But for the two schools for you,
well, the University of Texas is an old SWC team, a Southwest Conference team, and I have a spot in my heart for the old Southwest Conference. I mean, I played in the old Southwest Conference. I went to the Southwest Conference because I wanted to play in what I considered would be one of the most challenging leagues that I could go to with regards to being a linebacker, the position that I played. I wanted to go to the Southwest Conference. And back in the day when I was playing, running football was manly. It was the thing to do. It was who's tougher than anybody else. And there was a day when the SEC was one of the toughest, roughest, go get them, here we come type of leagues that you've ever seen. The Wishbone, I was playing football when the Wishbone was being played, for guys' sakes. And I wanted to go play Texas. Texas is still, to me, going to always have a soft spot in my heart, Jacob, because they were a Southwest Conference team. And I know you understand that, being from Texas. I'm sure I'm not the only person
Wasn't Oklahoma in there too?
Big Eight at that time. No, they were in the Big Eight.
Okay.
They were Big Eight.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it was a while before this all happened and Oklahoma started playing all those. It's been a while. It's been, 20 years now?
But
Rice was in the Southwest Conference. Rice.
Okay.
But there was a time when Rice was good.
They can take their licks in the first year, I suppose, but ultimately I want them to both be good there. I do. I know. I would imagine, Paul, we're some of the only people. If you pulled 10 Big 12 fans, we might be the only two.
Don't have a problem if Texas
see
wins.
Them be good.
I don't care if Texas wins.
I'm sick of the SEC.
I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, I'm sick of the SEC. I'd like for anybody to get in there. It's just like A&M. I'm no A&M fan. Exact opposite of that. A&M and Oklahoma were two of the teams I didn't like the most growing up, but I'd love to see them mess up the SEC. All right. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this edition of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.